Welcome to our new PR Week podcast episode with Arvind Hickman.
Hello, I'm Arvind Hickman and welcome to the PR Show. Today, we're taking a look at how some of the hardest hit industries and their comms partners are coping with the coronavirus crisis. I'm joined by Rooster PR MD James Brooke, whose agency specializes in comms for the travel and lifestyle industries. Also on our virtual panel is Palm PR and Digital founding director Liam Keogh. Palm serves clients in lifestyle, hospitality, food and drink, amongst others. Welcome to you both.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Arvind. Great to be here.
The aim of today's podcast is to get an insight into how struggling businesses are coping with the crisis and the comms challenges that they face. In the second part of today's show, we will look at how this disruption is having an impact on agency partners and the industry more broadly. The global economic lockdown has had a disproportionate impact on sectors like travel, tourism, and hospitality. For example, the World Travel and Tourism Council recently projected the global crisis will result in a loss of 75 million jobs and $2.1 trillion in revenue. Just today, Virgin boss Richard Branson issued a plea for a £500 million bailout, while other airlines across the world have had to furlough staff and make redundancies to significant chunks of their workforce. Several reports have warned of an existential threat to the hospitality sector as hotels, restaurants, and other venues shut their doors with no idea of when they may reopen. James and Lean have a real insight into how dire the situation is. And I thought I'd start off with you, James. Can you explain how much this crisis has had an impact on clients in tourism and travel?
Yes. Yeah, so, look, the global travel and tourism industry has been shut down as a result of the coronavirus. So, you know, there is no way to sugarcoat it or to put a positive take on it. It is, you know, pretty desperate times for the tourism sector, both in the UK and globally.
Can you give us an indication of some of the types of businesses that have been really hard hit?
Yeah, so it is across the board, but I would, you know, obviously start with the airline sector. So, you know, pretty much the whole of the aviation industry is shut down. You'll have seen the pictures on the news in terms of all the grounded aircraft. There are simply no planes flying, or those that are flying at the moment are repatriation flights or flights bringing in kind of equipment for the NHS. So certainly, you know, aviation has completely stopped. But then, you know, the ripple effect of that, we've seen, you know, the closure of all the hotels, restaurants, and obviously that's had a massive impact on all of the other businesses that support those sectors as well. So, yeah, the global travel industry is in effect on pause at the moment.
It's sort of in a holding pattern, isn't it? Are there any indications of when parts of this industry might reopen? For example, we've seen over in places like China, they're slowly starting to reopen their economy. Do they sort of offer some green shoots?
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting point, and it's hotly debated at the moment as to when the travel industry will start to open up again. Look, the travel industry has been affected, unlike most others, in terms of just about every issue and crisis. Certainly, in the 20 years that I've been working in the travel industry, you know, you look at the likes of the collapse of Thomas Cook recently, to the ash cloud crisis, to all of, you know, the political turmoil and crises, you know, globally. So the industry is very resilient and it's very good at bouncing back after significant periods of challenges. But I think everyone is in agreement now that this isn't going to be, you know, a V shape. It's not going to be a big dip and then an immediate bounce back. Obviously, from a UK perspective, you know, no one is unaffected by coronavirus. I think we are going to see a a much slower bounce back in travel. I think domestic travel will come back much quicker. We're all closeted up in our homes, and we're going to want to get out and explore. But I think the international piece will take much longer. You've also just got the sheer logistics of getting aircraft back in the skies. You know, like any mechanical device, like your cars, you know, aircraft do not like sitting unused on the tarmac. So there's going to be some serious logistical implications of just getting the planes flying again. And then we are going to be faced with a general nervousness within consumers in terms of doing international travel, you know, worries and concerns about being stranded abroad, you know, if there were to be any, you know, second, third outbreaks of coronavirus.
Okay, what about in terms of some of the airlines and other travel operators and how they're sort of dealing with the fact that their staff can't work? Are we seeing a lot of them just furloughing for as long as possible, or are we starting to see some deep cuts and redundancies?
Yeah, so look, the government job retention scheme, the furloughing, you know, has been a huge help, and you know is absolutely playing its part in terms of coming to the table to support the travel and tourism sector. And I don't think the industry would debate that. The issue we have is the longer it goes on, the more that furloughing is likely to turn into a redundancy scenario. So we've just seen the furloughing extended to the end of June. I think that's a really positive step. It'll be interesting to see what happens after June. And certainly we are starting to see many of the travel businesses start to talk about more of a layoff perspective rather than furloughing.
Okay. Liam, what's it been like in hospitality, restaurants, food and drink? How has that been impacted?
Well, I think there's two stories to tell. I think on the hospitality side, it's very similar to what we were hearing earlier about travel and tourism. The figures for March are out now, and they're saying that sales at restaurants and bars, they're down 60%. And obviously, April is going to be a lot tougher than that. I think just to echo what's been said, the government has been very proactive economically. And I do think that the package that they've given to hospitality industry in the form of business rate relief, grants, and then also the option to furlough staff has been a real saving grace. The problem is there are portions of the industry that weren't going into this crisis in a good place. And I think what people need to be aware of is that there's a coronavirus economic impact happening at the moment, but there was negative growth in the first quarter of this year, or potentially there was negative growth in the first quarter of this year, and there'll certainly be a recession after this. So the industry's kind of got to grapple with the lockdown. And my opinion is that actually weathering the lockdown is not going to be the toughest part of this because of the amount of government support that's going in. However, after that, they're going to have to deal with a strange new dynamic in the way society is interacting. So are we going to be going in and out of lockdown? Are there going to be social distancing measures in place ongoing? And of course, demand is going to be down because there's likely going to be unemployment across the board or an increase in unemployment across the board, which is going to dampen consumer spending. And consumers are going to be reluctant to spend because obviously this whole situation has made people very reserved about how they're using their cash. And you see that with businesses and what they're spending, but also in terms of what consumers are wanting to spend. So household saving will probably take priority over other things. And what I would say is that the hospitality industry has been extremely dynamic and flexible. And I think we're certainly seeing a massive change now. When coronavirus first hit and the lockdown was first announced, I think a lot of the industry went into panic and didn't necessarily know how to act. It was a big shock to the system, and obviously, you know, if you're running a business like that, they were just scrambling for survival. But I think now people are looking to the future and looking to a situation where their business is going to have to live with coronavirus. And what we've seen is so many places opening up for delivery only. I think some of them are going to do well out of that. Some of them will break even. Some of them will just do it to keep the brand alive. So there is a resilience in there. And obviously, they have options there which the travel and tourism industry doesn't have, in that a restaurant can easily be converted into a delivery model, whereas an airline can't necessarily service people who are staying at home all day. So I think there's a resilience in the sector, but I think there's certainly a lot to be concerned about. And I think the biggest challenge is that no one knows the duration of the coronavirus impact, and no one also knows in what form society is going to be operating in the next couple of years. But overall, I think I'm pretty positive about it, because the clients that we're working with, I think there is that adaptation that's happened now. I think lots of business leaders are getting their head around the fact that things need to change, and they're being dynamic and agile and flexible with the way their business models are adapting. And I do think the government support has come at the right time, and it's been of a size that should help a lot of viable businesses to get through this tough period and hopefully continue trading after it.
That's a really good point you raise about how there's a lot of uncertainty in terms of when things do return back to normal and when lockdown rules are eased. It's not a matter of flicking a switch, is it? I mean, it could be phased over many, many months. But we don't really know. But James, in terms of the major communications challenges that you've seen, how have clients sort of adapted their communications during this period?
Yeah, sure. So it's been in two phases. So the immediate priority from a travel industry perspective, from a comms piece, was just communicating the realities of the situation, keeping all of their customers and consumers informed. Obviously, with the nature of travel, a lot of people abroad on holidays. So a lot of it was about ensuring that everyone was brought back to the UK safely. And so that was, a real priority, at the start, and that was a major comms challenge. But the industry is very good at being on the front foot, with that. And there have been some, certainly in terms of our clients, some really stellar examples of businesses like Student Universe. All of their team, when there are zero bookings coming in, but the team are busier than ever working 24/7 to ensure that they can fly all of their customers home. So that was kind of the real initial focus. Now that we're out of that stage, the challenge now is about the ongoing promotion of travel, but at a point when you cannot travel and you cannot book. So at the moment, we're very much in that kind of inspiration phase where, it's not about selling at all, but it's about putting our clients on people's bucket lists for travel when the lockdown does loosen up and the travel industry opens up again. And obviously that is a challenge in itself, because the whole industry has had to change its approach to marketing and comms. Whereas a lot of the industry traditionally focuses on the price point and the offer, and now that doesn't feature at all. And it's about providing that armchair inspiration, because the public is at home, consumers are at home, they're absorbing more content online and through social than they ever have done, and the stats are significant. I believe internet usage has doubled and social media is up at least 40%. So there is a real opportunity within that to provide great content and great inspiration, one, to communicate a positive message that people do want at home, but also to provide great content that puts destinations and resorts and hotels on that kind of must visit bucket list for when people can travel again.
That's an interesting challenge, keeping consideration levels at top of mind of consumers when obviously their mind is on a lot of other things at the same time, and for an indefinite period at this stage, we don't really know. What are some of the tactics that Rooster has been advising clients to use?
Yeah, so from a tactics perspective, it's about one, taking a lot of the great content that we have from a travel perspective, and reshaping it, repackaging it, and repurposing it to provide more of that inspirational piece. Mm-hmm. But then now, technology is allowing the whole interactive side. And there's a real opportunity there from a travel and tourism perspective in terms of interactive cookery classes to provide, Caribbean cookery lessons or virtual tours of properties and hotels and cities that the clients might already have that great content for. So it is forcing travel marketers and travel comms people to think differently. But actually, in many ways, I think that is quite a positive, because if you look at traditional travel comms, a lot of it has been very similar for a long period of time now. And actually, I would argue that the industry has been ripe for disruption from a comms perspective. The current crisis that we face is forcing travel comms professionals to really rethink, their approach, and to use that terrible phrase, but to rethink outside the box.
Okay. Liam, what about in hospitality, food and drink? What are some of the major comms challenges that you've seen and helped clients with?
Well, with our clients, we've kind of had a three-pronged approach to this. I think the first arm of that was really dealing with the immediate direct-to-consumer communications that needed to be done in regards to coronavirus. And this shifted a lot in March as the situation accelerated and the rules started changing in regards to the lockdown and social distancing. So first of all, we were very much centered on telling consumers that the hygiene standards, the safety measures that are in place were up to scratch, and then it was about reassuring consumers that if venues were closing, they were taking good care of their staff, and that they were going to be planning to reopen when the situation allowed it. I think the next phase that we're in now is having a communication strategy around living with coronavirus, and that is really about making sure that as the businesses change course and as they adapt to the new scenario, there's a communication strategy in place to actually support those businesses and educate consumers on what they are, raise awareness, get people to buy the services and the different services that those businesses have started to offer. Because actually, a lot of the businesses that we represent, they're doing stuff that they weren't necessarily doing prior to coronavirus, and we need to create demand for that to support them. And then the third strategy is obviously encouraging consumers to come back to the business after coronavirus, and dealing with a situation after coronavirus and returning businesses to a level of income that they were prior to this.
Can you give us an example of some of the living with coronavirus messaging or tactics that you've used? Because it sounds like quite an interesting thing that people probably haven't really thought much about.
I mean, I think the really obvious one, which we're doing with so many of our clients, is we're pivoting the business from a restaurant that had a venue where people would visit and buy food as normal to a delivery only option. And I think that's a big shift, because a lot of them had a delivery service, but it wasn't their primary source of revenue, and it wasn't the primary way that consumers experienced the brand. So having a real focus on actually just getting awareness of that offering, and that they could have that restaurant experience in their home, has been a real core focus of any of the campaigns that we're running. I think the main thing that brands need to do at this point is to bring purpose to their brand, to actually show that in this very, very difficult time and in this very strange time, they're doing something of value. And I think it's important that their customers feel that purpose, get that purpose from them, and likewise their staff, because lots of them, brands are big employers, they need to bring their staff on their journey with them. I think the Leon campaign is a really, really good example of that. They essentially did a Feed Britain campaign where you could order food from their website, and all of the profits for that would go to the Feed NHS campaign, which is all about giving healthy meals to NHS workers. And I think that was a really clever and powerful thing to do. One, because it worked to support a charity and organisation that lots of consumers would be behind, and also supported the fight against coronavirus. And I'm sure it would have given purpose and pride to their staff, especially if they've had to furlough a lot of their staff. And then finally, obviously, it got people going onto the website and buying the product. So I think activations like that that can support the business, do it with purpose, and give brands pride, and give consumers an understanding that they're actively supporting the community. I think those are the campaigns that will make a real difference. And I think brands need to be thinking about that, because I think the worst thing any brand can do, especially in the hospitality sphere, is to assume that coronavirus is going to be a lockdown, which people come out of, and then it's business as usual, and that all they need to do is sort of hold on tight until coronavirus passes. I think the reality of it is that coronavirus is going to last for years. I think the hospitality industry is going to be the last industry that comes out of this. The government has said that as much already. So they need to have a strategy, really, that says, right, coronavirus is going to be around for all of 2020, maybe for the first half of 2021. How is the business going to operate in those circumstances? And how is the communication strategy that we've got in place supporting that new type of business that we've got? Because it's not just enough to keep the brand alive in that time with social media content. There needs to be purpose behind the brand. There needs to be some kind of tangible consumer experience. And obviously there are some businesses where that's very, very difficult to do, but the hospitality industry is well placed to do that still. And as I said earlier, I don't think it's all doom and gloom. I do think there's a positive story to tell with hospitality, but it's about being proactive. And if you're not proactive, I think it's very easy to fall behind on the communications.
Okay. James, I just wanted to sort of ask you, in terms of some of the other broader challenges that some of these businesses face, I mean, Virgin's an obvious one to go to. They've obviously had quite a bit of backlash for asking for government help, not just in the UK, but also in Australia and other markets. I believe there will be other airlines that are having similar issues. How does a business like that get the tone right and the messaging right?
I mean, the airline industry has dominated the headlines, certainly in the recent weeks from a travel and tourism perspective, with the likes of Virgin Atlantic and Branson, but also EasyJet and, you know, at Stelios, where, you know, in March, you know, he took, you know, a 60 million, you know, dividend out of a total 171 million dividend pot that was paid out. So there is a real, you know, there's a real debate about, you know, the airlines, you know, seeking government funding and government bailouts, but yet they're owned by billionaires, or they're still paying out these large dividends. So, you know, we're going to see an increasing number of airline failures. We've already had South African Airways and Virgin Australia, you know, as well, have both entered administration, and I think we're going to see more. So, you know, I think it is certainly tough times ahead. And, you know, again, to talk a little bit, I guess, to dovetail a bit with what Liam was saying, you know, the airlines have got to, they've got to really communicate delicately, show their real purpose. The shareholders have got to come to the table first off, and they need to communicate, you know, really transparently, and they need to come to the table first, and then, you know, hopefully, you know, the governments will play their part on coming to the table with, you know, commercial loans with, you know, commercial terms attached to them. So it's not actually a bailout. It is a loan that will be paid back, you know, in time. But then there's huge, you know, government resistance to, in effect, you know, taking stakes in airlines. So it's a very difficult space. I think it makes for some very easy tabloid-esque headlines, and I think that the comms directors, you know, have got a real challenge, you know, on their hands. I think they need to you know, they need to come to the table first and foremost with what's the shareholder play in this? What's the shareholder contribution? And then I believe, you know, public goodwill will follow. And then there is an argument for that government support, because when we do come out of, you know, this current crisis, again, I do agree with Liam in that, you know, it's not going to be an immediate return, but when we do come out of this crisis, you know, we need aviation. You know, we need to continue to be a large player, a significant player on the global stage. And aviation is a critical part of that, not just from a travel perspective, but from a contributor to GDP and to the UK's place on the global stage. And if we let these airlines, you know, fail now, you know, we're going to pay the price for that in the long term.
Okay. Liam, are there any sort of similar delicate situations in hospitality that you've been monitoring?
No, I don't think so. And I think the hospitality industry has been very, very good at putting their staff and their customers at the heart of their communications. And I think for any brand that's experiencing difficulties and any brand that is seeking government support over and above the government support that is already in the pipeline and been given, I think a clever thing to do is to show that actually government bailouts, government supports are going to be retaining jobs, they're going to be lessening the impact on staff's lives, and also they're going to be helping out customers. So I think the hospitality industry has done a very, very good job of putting a human face on all the different brands that they've got. And obviously at the early stage of this, they did a lot of work sort of in the press, lobbying the government on different support packages. And they obviously came through very quickly after that. So I think the hospitality industry doesn't have such a challenge. Of course, a lot of the businesses are smaller as well, so they're not needing any kind of significant bailout. And there doesn't seem to be headlines about business owners taking huge amounts of money out of the company and then also expecting a government handout on top of that. So I think they've handled that in a different way. The benefit is that there's so many small businesses in the hospitality sector. Obviously in aviation, you've got a handful of very, very big companies, and consumer sympathy for a massive multi-billion pound conglomerate is always going to be less than consumer sympathy for your local community restaurant where you know the chef. So I don't think they have the same challenges, but I do think that brands need to be really, really tactful, and they really need to show that they're putting their staff first. Obviously, Weatherspoons ran into some trouble because they appeared not to be doing that. But I think that is a rare example in an industry that has handled the communications on this situation rather well.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about how this situation is impacting your own businesses. James, what sort of impact has this coronavirus had on Rooster PR in terms of the work that you're currently doing with clients and also in terms of some of your HR issues that you have to deal with?
Yeah, look, the downturn or the effect that coronavirus has had on the travel and tourism sector has, you know, it has impacted Rooster. It's hit us in two ways. There was an immediate commercial hit where, you know, a number of travel clients, you know, looking to make savings and looking to make savings, you know, quickly. So we sort of felt that almost immediately, and we've been working with clients either to enable them to go on pause for 2 to 3 months or at a reduced fee level. But we've then had a sort of a second wave that's come in, which is where, you know, some of the government contracts are now starting to be looked at. So look, without a doubt, we've seen at least 2/3 of our travel client portfolio, you know, affected. My aim, you know, throughout this this situation is not to lose a single client. And to date, we haven't done, because we're working to support them, you know, as best as we can. And you know, I think we'll come out of the other end of this much stronger. You know, it's at times like this when you support and stand by your clients and help them navigate really tricky times that you really build that depth of of relationship, you know, for when times pick up again. So, you know, it hasn't been easy, but I'm, you know, pretty positive about the scenario moving forward. And while, you know, we've discussed already on this podcast that, you know, it's not going to be a V-shaped dip, it's not going to be, you know, a quick bounce back, you know, but the industry is going to come back. You know, okay. Brits will travel again. We are very resilient. We will travel and we will want a holiday. And I think there'll be significant opportunities in that to reinvent our comms for clients, and also hopefully to, you know, to pick up some pretty significant projects. And I should also add to that that the actual new business and pitching environment, that hasn't stopped or slowed down. And actually I submitted an RFP for a pretty big tourist board last Friday. So that side of it is still carrying on.
Mm-hmm. What about in terms of your people? Have you had to place anybody on the job retention scheme? Have you had to lose any staff or make any cuts in that aspect?
So we're a team of 20, and we have we've put three on furlough. So, I mean, we are, you know, we're split kind of in an even third travel, third consumer and lifestyle, and a third business and corporate. And certainly on the consumer side and the business and corporate side, you know, that is, you know, very much business as normal, or in many ways seeing how we can make our clients relevant in the current environment. So that's, you know, carried on. Not as normal, and with some clients it's significantly upweighted. The travel side has definitely taken a hit, but you know, we are, you know, we've done some amazing work for clients in that initial kind of issues management piece, and then some really exciting work about how we can reinvent travel comms to make it relevant to the armchair traveler at mm-hmm. the moment. And then, look, I remain pretty positive and optimistic and buoyant about, you know, when the industry does start to recover, the opportunities both for our existing clients, but also, you know, potentially for new clients and new client projects when that picks up, which, you know, I'd like to think is going to start to happen after the summer.
Okay. Liam, what has the impact been on Palm so far?
So half of our business is devoted to hospitality, and that has obviously been hit significantly. We furloughed a sizable portion of the staff, but we were quite aggressive in responding to coronavirus fairly early on. So we moved very quickly just to insulate the business from the effects of it. So we were very proactive, was talking to our clients about contract pauses, new contracts, changes to the fee structure, payment plans. So I'm extremely positive about dealing with life in coronavirus as an agency. I think the bigger challenge is going to be operating post-coronavirus, when we're sort of operating in what would be a sort of traditional recession, but perhaps a little bit more exaggerated, with people wanting to spend a lot less. We've been really, really fortunate. We've got a very, very good team. A lot of them have been with us for many, many years. So everyone has really, really pulled together over this time. So those that have furloughed, have been really behind this decision. Those who are on in the agency still are working really, really, really hard. And our commitment is not to lose any members of staff and not to lose any clients. And we're still in that position at the moment. But I think that businesses need to be really aggressive with how they're responding to this and how they're protecting themselves, because I do believe that the effects of this will be felt till summer 2021 in terms of the economic impact.
Okay. You made an interesting point that I want to touch on, and I'll ask James the same thing. But you mentioned that it's going to change the way you might operate in the future. Can you give us just a very brief outline of how you think that might play out?
Well, one thing that I've seen, which has been really amazing over this time, is I do feel that the client relationships have really intensified and really strengthened. We've taken a much more of a partnership relationship with our clients. Everyone's been having to have very, very frank conversations about what money they've got, what money they can spend. And I do believe that agencies that partner with their clients to bring them through this crisis are going to have long-term client relationships with these businesses afterwards. So I think this sort of approach to client relationships will perhaps change after this. The sheer frequency we've been having dialogues with our clients in terms of calls, Zoom meetings, this kind of thing has massively increased. And I've seen a benefit of that tremendously. I think every business going forward will be resisting overmanning, because obviously there's massive overmanning in the economy. We've got really high employment, very low productivity. So I think we're going to see less people working in organizations going forward. And I think people are going to be a lot more conservative with how they're spending money. They're going to be wanting to have savings in the bank, because I think a lot of businesses didn't have any kind of buffer, any kind of support when this came in. Likewise, people are going to be taking on debt very reluctantly. People don't want to be in a situation where a crisis hits and they're, 5% margin away from massive exposure. So I think in terms of the way businesses operate their finances, it's going to massively change. But I think in terms of relationships, that's going to be the biggest change. Relationships with staff, relationships with clients are going to be put at the forefront of every business.
Okay. And James, I'll give you the final word. How do you think this whole situation, this whole coronavirus crisis, might impact or change the way that Rooster operates?
Yeah, look, I don't either think or want Rooster to be the same agency after we come out of this. I think there's a real opportunity in the difficult time that we're in now for us as Rooster to slightly reinvent ourselves. I think the team have been amazing about embracing the new kind of working normal. If anything, I think our productivity has increased. I think our interactivity and the relationships with clients has increased and deepened. And I'm actually quite excited and already thinking about how we can slightly recreate Rooster, off the back of this. And I've got a whole list of ideas that I want to implement, afterwards, that I think will be really positive, will be positive for the agency as a whole, but more importantly, our staff and our clients.
Can you share one or two of them?
Yeah, so I think that those days of a desk at an office, of having your own desk at an office is probably gone. I think I have a vision of large kitchen tables and everyone doing much more of that interactive working piece. No one at their own desk each day. A lot more meetings on the move. A lot more dynamic working. I know the industry's been heading down that route for a while, but I think for us, I think for Rooster, we'll change significantly.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks for that, James. And that is all we have time for today. I'd like to thank our guests, James and Liam, for being so open and sharing your views at this difficult time. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast and found it valuable, please do subscribe to PR Week and follow our coronavirus coverage. I'd also like to thank our production partners, marketeers, and you, our valued listeners, for joining us today. Until next time, on behalf of the PR Week team, goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the PR Show podcast with Arvin Hickman. Brought to you by PR Week. If you like what you heard, please leave us a nice review.